It's the Score North Twin Show.
All right, Score North Twin Show, extra innings. My name's Declan Goff. What's going on? A happy Sunday morning to you. That's Ross Brendel. We're going to talk a little Twins in this extra innings episode. We are well aware the Twins will be wrapping up their Detroit Tigers series by the time you may be consuming this, but we want to give you a little piece of content here after the Twins have been able to play three games. That's right, they played three games in 48 hours. Instead of just playing three games on over the course of three different days, they've only done that once because of rainouts. I honestly thought on Friday night, Ross, I was like, they're not going to play a game today. They're going to go again without having to not play another damn game. They're going to have to do another doubleheader sometime later in the season because there's no way they're going to do back-to-back doubleheaders. But damn it, they waited it out, and they actually played a baseball game. They played three games between Friday and Saturday.
You know, during the pandemic era, we went through the seven-inning doubleheaders. And there was a good conversation recently with Corey Provis and Glenn Perkins about the seven-inning doubleheaders, if it's good, if it's bad. Maybe we leave the doubleheaders at nine innings, but if we ever need to play a tripleheader, we just do three seven-inning games.
I can see that as well. That'd be hilarious.
Remember that a few years back there was somebody where they were maybe thinking they were going to have to attempt to play a tripleheader? That was only within the last few years. I don't remember who that was, but that would have been something to see.
I honestly enjoyed the seven-inning doubleheader. I mean, high school does that to a degree. I mean, they play seven innings a lot. So, like, I could see seven innings working. I think even did the Saints do seven innings for the American Association for doubleheaders?
Yes.
I worked there for 2 years. I should remember that. But I'm pretty sure they did.
And then they played them. There was barely a break. Like, they would literally finish the game, shake hands. They would take, I think, what, a 10-minute break, and they would turn around and play again. Here is my early derail, Declan, okay?
Yeah.
On the extra innings thing, you would be okay with 2 7-inning games. When 100%. Do you feel like, okay, let's just say if the rule stays the rule. You play your 9 innings, and then you play extra innings, independent of doubleheader or not. Have you ever shared your opinion on the ghost runner? Because I agree with Corey Provis, who recently said, let's not put the ghost runner on second base until maybe like the 12th or 13th inning. I get why we do it. I fully understand why we do it. It's just not baseball to me. Now, I get it. In 10 years, it'll be baseball to the younger generation.
Right.
But for me, when I watch it, whether it benefits the home team or not, it just drives me crazy. It's not baseball.
I'm okay with it. I could live in a world where maybe you'd play the 10th and 11th under normal rules. But then again, I guess, where do we just draw the line of, all right, well, the game's been played normally for 9 innings, and we want this to be over with, so let's accelerate that process. I'm fine with the ghost runner. Yeah, I don't have too much of an issue with it. I want the game to be over with. They want these games to be quicker. And you know, in classic fashion, I hate to be this classic old man too. Well, if you don't want that rule to happen, win the game in regulation.
Win the game.
You know, kind of like you say with overtime in football, right? You don't like a game ending like this. Win the damn game in regulation, for God's sakes.
Oh, then you're now. We won't even talk shootout in hockey. What do you got? What's the A topic today, bud?
All right, let's get into this, Roscoe, because yesterday, and it happened technically on Friday because he left the game in about the fourth inning, but. The Twins lose Carlos Correa there, another star player, to an oblique injury. He gets, I don't know the exact play it happened on. There was a diving lineout play that he snagged, I believe in the second or third, defensively, that he made a really nice play on, but he came up very slowly. So I don't know if he stretched weird and as he extended with his glove, if he did something there. And then he took a long at bat, and I believe it ended with a strikeout looking, not swinging, but right after that, he gets pulled and goes on the bench. Eventually, he gets placed on the injured list, and Carlos Correa now is, the Twins are without another star player in Correa. They're already without Royce Lewis, who hurt his quad on opening day, and now they're without Carlos Correa. Now, a small sample size, we love to say in baseball, 2-0 without Carlos Correa and Royce Lewis. They're going to finish up their series against the Detroit Tigers, but the Twins now are basically, Ross, are going to be tasked with turning around their season, and turning around their season as in a bumpy start. I wouldn't say it was a disastrous start to the year. They're not, you know, the A's. They're not going to be only winning 45, 50 games projected, but they got off to a little bit of a bumpy start. Now they have to kind of salvage their season, get back to 500, try to climb back up the Central without its two best players, offensively at least, in Carlos Correa and Royce Lewis.
Well, I think the goal is going to be what you and I talked about, I don't know, maybe a week ago on this podcast. just don't bury yourself. Stay within striking distance. I'm assuming the division's going to come back a little bit. I don't think Cleveland is quite going to play at the same clip that they have to start the season. It's interesting because you obviously don't want to play long periods of time without your star players. The positive side is you do get to see some players that you think fairly high of, like an Austin Martin, to see what he can do. He's come out of the gates playing really well. Declan, you and I know how this works. At some point, he's going to have a two-week stretch where he doesn't hit at all. That's just how it works with young players in Major League Baseball. But if you can push that as long as possible before that starts to happen, that would be a good thing. Another thing to note, too, Declan, it's not just that you have to replace Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa. It's Max Kepler for the time being. It's half the bullpen. The organizational depth is really being stretched so much to the point that Jair Camargo, a player that the Twins really like, is on the Major League roster, and they probably wouldn't have him on the Major League roster because one of the positions that they aren't affected by injury at this point is catcher, but they need a body.
Yeah.
The interesting note here is, I want to say it was mid-June, July of last year, I was talking with Sean Aronson, our mutual buddy, who does play-by-play for the St. Paul Saints. And I asked him about the roster and maybe a player that he really enjoys and feels strongly about that maybe fans aren't talking about. And he mentioned Camargo specifically. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Twins can do with him. But this is such a cliche answer, Declan, but it's really got to be day by day with this group, right? You field a lineup and you hope to get the absolute best that you can. And again, small sample size. You mentioned that when a lot of people listen to this pod. You know, it'll be after the Twins game against the Tigers, the finale. But it's amazing, Declan, what you can do and how well you can position yourself in games if you just put the ball in play.
Yep.
And the Twins have started to do that over the last handful of games, and it's made a difference directly scoring runs, A, because of errors or just moving guys along the base paths and sac flies and such. It's a very precarious position because teams are going to suffer injuries. They don't typically suffer injuries with what could be two of their three best players. And again, we've mentioned this too. I don't want to be Mr. Negative, but until Byron Buxton plays a full season, you just kind of expect there's going to be an IL stint or two. And that could be something that the lads have to overcome at some point. The good news here, Declan, it's early. Just don't bury yourself. And so far, they've done a decent job starting to climb out of that hole. So if I had to guess, I think they'll remain competitive. They're good enough to remain competitive and within striking distance.
And, you know, Ryan Jeffers with, you know, potentially that at-bat of the year yesterday where he turns a 12-13 pitch at-bat where he's fouling things off, puts it in play. And yes, I know McKinsley ends up making a pretty costly error that turns into a 7-run inning for the Twins. It ends up being the win in the first game of the doubleheader. But yeah, putting the ball in play is huge here. You know, Camargo, I know they had to call someone up, but like Camargo's not in the starting lineup on Sunday. I don't really know what the plan is for him to play, you know, close to every third or fourth day. And at that point, why'd you even call him up if he can just be in St. Paul? He's a catcher, but he has a huge bat. You know, his defense is probably going to need some work. He was someone that I wanted to look at spring training and someone to watch because he has a lot of pop, a lot of good power, to Sean's point there. That's probably someone that's not talked about enough. He was included in the Kenta Maeda trade when the Twins made that trade in 2020 where they were able to send out Gratterall to the Dodgers. They get Maeda, and they got Camargo back in that trade too. So it actually ends up being a very good trade for the Twins. But yeah, offensively, they're going to have to continue to survive without these star players. We'll see if they can do it. Maybe transitions good into this next point about pitching, which Joe Ryan, again, yesterday was phenomenal. He's been their best starter through the first three games. I know Pablo ran into a little bit of trouble there on Friday, ran into some trouble against the Guardians in his previous start. But so far, Joe Ryan easily has been, you know, maybe even their best player so far this year. He continues to dazzle. He had 12 strikeouts yesterday. Everything is up. His velo is up on his secondary pitches. He's staying healthy, which is obviously huge because the hamstring injury last year was something that derailed a two different stint season for Joe Ryan, where pre-hamstring injury, he actually was incredibly effective. Post-hamstring injury, he looked awful. But so far, I mean, K percentage at 34%. He's getting players to chase. He's getting players to swing and miss a ton. He's not walking anybody. I mean, there might be a world where Joe Ryan might emerge as the best pitcher in this rotation, and Pablo Lopez is the de facto ace. I'm not trying to say that he has moved down a pecking order by any means and, you know, start panicking about Pablo Lopez. But Mercy, we talked a lot about the depth of starting pitching, which is still a valid question, but I don't think there is any question that 1-2 in Pablo Lopez into Joe Ryan, you feel really good about as a Twins fan. It's one of the few, I think, positives you can hang your hat on through the first, you know, 12, 13 games of the season.
Well, you mentioned the strikeout percentage, and I had that circled to talk about. In today's day and age, that's just something you're always going to pay attention to, because it's not just the Twins. Teams are striking out more than ever. And if you have a guy who can strike people out, that's how you win in today's Major League Baseball, whether you agree with it or not. That's a huge component for winning. The Twins, for as much as we want to talk about when they're healthy, if they ever get healthy, and the lineup that they can put out there, they're likely only going to go as far as Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan take them. So the fact that Joe Ryan appears to be, it's very early, again, small sample size, taking that next step is big. And again, I think that goes back to not necessarily defending the Twins. I believe they should have went out and got another starter. But I do believe that this goes along with their thinking of why they thought they could maybe get away with not getting another starter if Joe Ryan was going to take that next step, like they believed that we could, or that he could. Fans believe that he could. And hopefully we're seeing those early returns to start the season with that. He's just fun, Declan. We talked about this. It doesn't really translate to wins or losses on the field, but it's a guy I think fans can easily rally around. You get excited when Joe Ryan's pitching. You know, it's just everything that comes with it. But I actually see it in the comments. Two pitchers can't carry a team alone in a full season. Agreed. You know, you and I have talked about that.
Yeah.
They're going to have to get something out of Louis Varland. Bailey Ober's going to have to at least be a solid third or fourth starter. Early on in the season, Chris Paddock looks fine. I guess that would be the word that I would say. Looks fine.
Pretty accurate, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that will hold up. Who knows? But I would also challenge most people and say, outside of three or four rotations in Major League Baseball, they all look somewhat a form of what the Minnesota Twins have.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit top heavy, and then the back half of the rotation, not to be mean, is just kind of filled with guys that most casual Major League Baseball fans don't really know a ton about. But if the Twins can win most games that Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan start, they will be fine. And that is a huge, huge crucial point in being able to maintain some semblance of a decent record when most of your star players on the lineup side aren't playing.
Yeah, and look, the Twins lineup ran to a buzzsaw on Skubal on Friday. I think he's probably the least talked about pitcher in baseball.
He's so good.
I think, had the Tommy John in 2021 or 2022 and came back last year and shoved. The first four starts this year has shoved. He is easily, I think, the most unheard of star pitcher in the game right now, and he's incredible. So the Twins lineup runs with that buzzsaw. And then conversely, you have Pablo Lopez going against, you know, that Tigers lineup, which has been up and down. They've shown flashes of batting people out, and they've also been just as visible as the Twins lineup at times. So kind of an inconsistent lineup there. But to your point, you need, when Pablo does go out there, or when Joe Ryan goes out there, between the two, you got to win 75% of those starts, right?
Yes.
Like you can't,
yeah, you're going to have
you can't waste the pitching performances that you're most likely going to get from those two. And yeah, Paddock, Ober, Varland, we'll see who kind of emerges so far in that, you know, horse race. Maybe Paddock is a little ahead of the other two, but I would, if you told me both of them are, all three of them are on the same pole position, I wouldn't fight that either.
Well, and it's only one start, but nice to see Simeon Woods Richardson look
pretty
decent.
Yeah, he was excellent yesterday.
And I know there's people in the organization and media members that are very high on him, also included in a trade. It's very easy to rip Derek Falvey and Thad Levine for some of their trades. I do it all the time. You know I do it. I do it all the time. They have done a decent job acquiring minor league talent from other people's organizations and developing them. So you hope that maybe that trend will continue with the Woods Richardson, because that will give you another option as the season goes on. And we know, Declan, even if all five pitchers pitch well, somebody's going to spend time on the IL, so you need that depth. I actually do want to ask you a question on Joe Ryan, though, because you were on this fairly early on the Score North Twins show. You've been talking about him since spring training, that it just It looks different. The velo is up. He's maybe pitching at the highest level he ever has. What has been the difference? Is that something he did personally? Have you had a chance to talk with him or even Pete Mackey about it? Is it something that they did together? What has been the process, or what has basically caused that change here early on in the season?
Yeah, I asked mostly about what's been the reason for the uptick in the secondary pitches. So I asked him about this during his first home start, which would have been his second start of the season. And he went back to a lot of the things that he was using last year that he ditched halfway through the year when things weren't working. So the pitch grips that he did end up working on more with that sweeper, with that splitter, his fastball's always been very effective. He continued to grow at that. He continued to use that a lot more, and ends up turning into a big reason why his velocity ends up going on an uptick here. And last year with that hamstring injury, which I know got weird because at first he didn't report it to the team, and then he was pitching hurt, and he gives up like five bombs in Atlanta to start the game, and things kind of derail from there. But I think as long as he's healthy and he has taken this next step with his secondary pitches of the grips and the information that's out there with driveline and everything, he's going to be a really, really good pitcher. I kind of thought, I wouldn't say he plateaued, but I just thought like, oh, he's a nice B or nice two or three option. There could be an ace unlocked into here. And sometimes with pitchers, it does take you, you know, a good 50 to 75, 100 starts before you really emerge into your prime. And he kind of seems to be tracking in that direction. So yeah, as long as that secondary stuff stays nasty, I envision him being legitimately one of the better pitchers in the American League this year.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head. I thought the same thing, Declan, where about halfway through last year, you know, okay, maybe he's just a solid major league starting pitcher. And again, we've talked about this. That was a trade that if he's just a solid major league pitcher, that's a trade you won by giving up 2 months of Nelson Cruz in a season you weren't going to do anything or go anywhere. Now, if he takes that next step, well, maybe that helps take the pressure off of you on some of the other misses that you've had, like a Malley who showed up holding his right arm, Paddock who also showed up holding his right arm, your guy D. Scalfani, who apparently, again, not to rip them, they tried telling us he might pitch, but apparently knew all along he wasn't going to pitch. Like, that, yeah, that never makes any sense to me. But I just, Joe Ryan's a guy you want to cheer for. I go back to a couple years ago, he was at the Twins do this welcome back luncheon, and it's open to, like, media members, business partners. Joe Ryan was there, a few other players. I remember Gio Urshela, somebody else too, I can't remember. But Joe Ryan owned that room and command that room, and he did it with basically telling people all this fun inside baseball stuff, but also being himself. Here's a hot tip for you, Declan. Maybe you didn't know this, maybe you've already unearthed this. He puts in a new stick of gum every inning. And his goal is obviously to finish the game with 9 sticks of gum in his mouth. So there you go.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it does sound terrible, but that's what he does. There's your fun fact of the day. So Joe Ryan, kids, loves his gum. Let's get him a gum endorsement.
Yeah, he's actually a super fun guy to talk to. When I asked him about that secondary pitches and he happened to have a baseball in front of him, he basically showed everything he does with those secondary pitches, and it was a really cool answer. Sticking on the pitching side, so the Twins do get Caleb Thielbar back. So he had a rehab assignment. He started the year on the IL. He was with the Saints this week. He is now activated from the injured list, which is good. Caleb Thielbar is one of the more effective left-handed options in baseball last year. I will say Steven Okert and Cody Funderburk, as lefties without him, they did their job without Caleb Thielbar, which was incredible. I really didn't think either of those guys are going to be able to pitch in big spots effectively. They've made some humongous outs early on this year. So Caleb Thielbar is back. That means there'll be three lefties in the bullpen. And Jorge Alcala is the one that gets optioned to St. Paul here, which is a little surprising to me. He faced 29 batters this season. He struck out 9. He allowed just 3 hits. He didn't allow a run. Now, he did last week on Sunday, a week ago today, he had some type of like mysterious injury and told Rocco, hey, I can't go out there and pitch. And that's why Jay Jackson gets extra time to warm up. There was a lot of confusion. But then Alcala was right back out there on Tuesday night and Wednesday and shoved and looked fine and was effective. And it was like, okay, so he felt a little weird, but he's not going to go on the injured list. Everything's gravy there. Well, they look at Alcala and probably maybe as the options remaining as the reason he gets sent down. Still, now you have 3 lefties in the bullpen. I know Cole Sands yesterday was effective, which was great, but I thought Cole Sands would have been a victim here that probably was going to be bumped out of the bullpen, but they look at it as Alcala. And maybe there is, I shouldn't say, I don't want to project this, but maybe there is a phantom injury there still with Alcala that he's going to go to AAA and then maybe he's IL'd from there and it just kind of worked out. I'm a little confused on the reasoning. I would like to know more on why this happened, but Caleb Theobar back, good news, but question mark on why Jorge Alcala is the victim that gets optioned off the roster for Theobar.
So here's my hunch here. I think Jorge Alcala, I think we all would submit and believe he has better stuff than Cole Sands. But do the Twins at this point just feel like Cole Sands is the safer option? Every now and then, Alcala, and we saw it a little bit over the weekend, he goes out there and really struggles with command. You know, the stuff might be so electric that when he lets go of it, he doesn't exactly know where it's going to end up. Three lefties, it's funny. You always want two options. It's great if you have two options. The moment you put three out there, three's a crowd. It just, part seems a little interesting. But Declan, again, trying to be Mr. Positive today, I think so far this says good things about where the Twins pitching, starting pitching, and bullpen is at, that you're talking about getting a guy back healthy who you believe in, Caleb Theobar, who, by the way, Mr. St. Paul Saint, he's done like 18 stints in St. Paul, independent and AAA. But you have to send a guy out that I think you also believe in. So probably a good problem to have. But yeah, it's a little interesting to me because I think Alcala, if you need a guy to come in and get an out, I think there's just more electric stuff there than what Cole Sands has.
Yeah.
I also believe Cole Sands at some point still probably, Declan, maybe things have changed, still probably projects more as a starter at some point. So him coming out of the bullpen still seems a little interesting to me when you could probably put him back in AAA and let him get his work every fifth day.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it goes. I think for me, it's still way too early in the season to get super upset about any move, but it is interesting as to why he's the one heading back to St. Paul and probably, to your point, not Cole Sands.
Yeah, and let me be clear, too, that this was going to be a problem because how effective the Twins' bullpen was. So someone was going to get sent down that probably mostly didn't deserve to being sent down from the bullpen group, at least. So I knew it was going to be a tough decision for them, but maybe that's a good way to spin it, Ross, that Jorge Alcala, who is kind of wildly effective to a degree and still trying to find the strike zone, might has to fine too some of those things that make him effective with those nasty pitches. I envision that if he indeed does have a really good command of the zone and with his stuff playing, you know, as it is, you're talking about one of the more electric options in that bullpen. So maybe this is just a fine tooth combing of what he has to do in AAA. And, you know, Caleb Theobar is a veteran. They were going to default to him regardless, but it is interesting. The three is a crowd situation with three left-handed pitchers. I mean, Patrick Royce talked a lot about how are they going to have enough left-handed options. They don't have a left-handed starter. And now all of a sudden you got three really good options. So I know the game has changed too with having to face three guys at a minimum and, you know, you can't just do a spot situation where Theobar comes in and then, you know, someone else comes in. There's a little bit more of a strategy involved, but three lefties now in the bullpen between Theobar, Cody Funderburk, and of course, Steven Okert.
What do we know about Duran? Because if the bullpen continues to pitch as effectively as they have been, there'll be blips. There always are. But this same thing will happen, and maybe down the road it's Cole Sands who ends up heading back to St. Paul down to the minor league level. But the same thing's going to happen again when Duran's ready. Somebody who's pitching well is probably going out. But I know we're still probably quite some time away on Duran. And I'll admit, like, as spring training was unfolding, Declan, that really snuck up on me. And then when they said he was going to start the season on the IL, I assumed, oh, okay, we'll see him on April 10th, April 15th. Well, that doesn't really appear to be the case either. So what do we know on him at this point?
So he threw a bullpen. I think he stayed back. Or no, he came with the team. He threw a bullpen this Friday, I believe, in Detroit. And he has another one scheduled for this coming week. So he's getting closer. I would actually envision if that second bullpen goes pretty well, you're probably talking about a rehab assignment by this week's time next week. So he's getting closer. And those obliques are tricky. Now Correa's dealing with one. They're very sensitive. They're a lot like hamstring injuries. I know they're much different parts of the bodies, but one setback and once you start feeling good, you can really take a big step backwards if things aren't going as projected. So he's going to be back. I would probably envision no later than May 1st. You know, he could be back before the month's over. But yeah, he's getting closer, and then and this is where the bullpen has been great, and someone's going to be a casualty, and it stinks to a degree because you have guys that have stepped up like Steven Okert, and Jay Jackson has looked great too, but Duran, when healthy, is obviously, you know, a top five pitcher and most feared pitcher in all in baseball that's coming out of the bullpen. So yeah, he's getting close, and then again, this bullpen will continue to be its strength. That hasn't been an issue at all, despite the bumpy start to the season for the Twins. The bullpen has been incredibly effective, and that was without Duran and Thielbar for the first 2 weeks of the season. You're muted, Rasko.
Only 5 years of doing this.
No,
Can I ask you one more random off-the-wall question?
Yeah, yeah.
Where does Jose Miranda fit into this organization? It feels like at this point he doesn't fit. He's only going to play when they absolutely need him to play. And he continues to be a danger to himself and his teammates out in the field. I mean, I feel really bad for him. And I know there's talent there. At one point, I think, was it maybe Phil that brought this up? But I remember seeing it too. At one point, we had Jose Miranda pictures outside of Target Field that they were hanging on the light poles. And now it just feels like, I just don't know what you do with him. I mean, in a perfect world, maybe you would bury him at first base, but the Twins already have plenty of players who can play at first base, and their only way into the lineup is to be at first base. I like Miranda. I don't really want to give up on him, but hitting, he is very streaky. And defensively, Declan, you cringe every time he touches the ball because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when Rocco, when Jose Miranda got called up last week, he said pretty explicitly he will not be the everyday third baseman. That doesn't mean he won't be in the lineup, and he has DH'd a ton. So they wanted his bat in there because the Twins were striking out a lot. They were taking a lot of strikeouts too, as well looking, and Jose Miranda's going to swing the bat. Whether he will not take a strike three, he's going to swing at just about everything. So I think they wanted just a little bit of a change of pace. So they call him up from AAA, and he was doing pretty well there, and they wanted a different type of look in the middle of the order. But yeah, he just might be someone that is also, you know, you brought up the term jag earlier with the starting rotation. He might just be a jag. He's a quad A
all-star.
Yeah, that might be it. He had a really good start to 2022, and you're seeing that sometimes now with guys like Matt Wallner who are struggling after they start their big league career because there's no book out on them and there's no scouting report on them, and then, you know, pitchers and organizations try to catch up with you, and Jose Miranda ends up, you know, not being that effective after a really successful rookie campaign. Yeah, once Royce Lewis is back, if indeed he does come back at some point, that he's probably someone Miranda is that is definitely probably pushed off this roster.
How dare you just dismiss Matt Wallner's home run off of a 57-mile-per-hour fastball over the weekend?
I got a note about that. Like, that's for your Wallner haters. And it took everything in me to say
it was
off a position player. But I'm glad he parked. In fact, you know what? I would hope to God he hit a ball off a position player that far. So thank you. And maybe that does spark something for him. Okay, I'm not completely anti-him. It's just he's gotten off to a really rough start, and the Twins are going to use his bat. We just talked about at the top about how they're without their star players and Carlos Correa and Royce Lewis, and they're obviously going to need guys like Matt Wallner, Eddie Julian, et cetera, to really step up in their absence.
Well, and people keep saying send Matt Wallner down. For who? There were literally two players on the 40-man that they could have called up, and they went with Camargo, a position that they don't even really need just because they need a body. So if you're going to send Wallner down, what are you doing? Are you claiming some player that another team has DFA'd, or you're plucking another player off of somebody else's 40-man roster? I don't disagree that maybe he could use some time at AAA and some fine-tuning. There's just nobody else you can go get. On the positive side, and I really don't even want to make light of this, he still is getting on base because the guy gets hit every other game. I mean, he might not be getting hits, but he excels in getting hit. So at least he provides some value of getting on base. At this point, Declan, there's really not a lot you can do with him. He's going to have to take his bat every day, go out there, get his four or five at-bats, and hopefully figure it out at the major league level because there really aren't any other options.
Yeah, well, hopefully Camargo maybe fits in somewhere here, and again, the Twins are going to have to survive without him, because oblique strains are no joke either, and maybe someone else starts to emerge. Eddie Julian starting to hit the bat a little bit better. Kepler's also on the IL, so that's also why I think Matt Wallner is sticking around here, regardless of a slow start, because they need someone to play the outfield. Kirilov has played a little bit of right as well, so they've already got some injuries here, and look, I'm not a huge Max Kepler guy. I feel like we're kind of nearing the end of his tenure here, but that's another player that they're relied upon that's on the injured list. I mean, if you would have told me by April 14th to start the year, the Twins are going to be without Carlos Correa, Royce Lewis, and Max Kepler. They're all going to be on the injured list. What's their record going to be? And I would probably guess not above 500. That's for sure. So they're going to have to continue to survive without these guys, and we'll see what happens.
And hopefully, Declan, the early returns are that they will. Like I said, if they can hover around 500 April and May, my hunch is that nobody in the division is going to jump so far out and bury them that they can't overcome something in June, July, August, and September. I think that's the hope. I think it might not be the world's most talented roster, 1 through 40, but it's a pretty darn good roster, which is why at the beginning of the year, I mean, maybe I'll prove that I was smart, or maybe we'll prove that I'm an idiot. It's probably more of the latter. It's a reason why I thought this team could win 90 games. I think the division is better, but it's not great. And yep. I think the Twins roster, despite what some people want to tell you, was every bit as good as last year's, if not better. And I still do believe that. And let's just hope they can survive the next month or two. And if they do, if they can get healthy, who knows if they will, but if they can get healthy, I think it'll still be a really fun summer at Target Field. And I hope people come out to the park and enjoy it.
This is Score North Extra Innings. My name is Declan Goff. That's Ross Brendel. The Twins wrapping up their series against the Detroit Tigers on Sunday afternoon. And then tomorrow against Baltimore, they get to see all those young studs in Baltimore, including Jackson Holliday. So a little bit of a vibe check going into that series as well. So you can expect extra content from that series. Detroit Tigers, who they're wrapping up with, come to Target Field for next weekend's series. And then the White Sox also saw some divisional games and an exciting series with Baltimore, who's obviously going to be one of the better teams in baseball coming up. So hit that subscribe button. We appreciate it right here on the Score North Twins YouTube channel. We're just about 2,500 subs. Thank you so much. So hit the like button, hit the sub button. This is Score North Extra Innings. Again, you can kind of expect extra inning content from every Twins home game, and then plus extra content when they're on the road here and there as well. So we appreciate you guys listening. This has been Score North Extra Innings. We'll be talking at you soon.